Thank you. Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we are going through the Acts, book of Acts, please turn with me to the chapter 3. I will be preaching from chapter 3, first 10 verses, and then short parts of the end of the chapter I will share with you. It is great to read and study God's word. God speaks to us through his word and encourages. The book of Acts is a story about how people are saved. You want to know about your family, how each one of you are saved. If you write a story, it will be like this story. God teaches us and encourages in this difficult time that the world is going through. In spite of all these things, still God speaks to us through the life of the people that we are seeing. We saw last week that Peter preached and 3,000 people are saved and they all coming together. And they were telling about Jesus to everyone. What did they do? The 5 things they did that is mentioned in the last chapter, that is second chapter, 42nd verse. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, fellowship, and breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone shared all the things that they had. So you see the elements of church there, you can see teaching, preaching, prayer and fellowship together, and breaking the bread. And God did an extraordinary work among them, miraculous signs. And as we see all the stories of this book, it all teaches about the promise that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples. It's recorded in Acts 1:8. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will make you a witness for him from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth, meaning to all the Roman colonies. So that is the story about this book of Acts, that where God is taking us a tour. If somebody comes from, like me, came from India, first thing what they do here, American friends, they'll take us tour and see America here, right? The God is taking us to a tour of people that he saved. And you and I can identify with them, no matter what you are. God will show us here a poor man, a beggar, and a king. And you will see God's own enemies. God can change upside down, and he can change the life of everyone who is against God. He will turn them and make them as his disciple. All these stories are filled in this place to encourage us. Don't give up to praying for your loved ones who may be in a place where you may think that it is impossible for them to come to know God. God is teaching us here. No, he is alive and he will come to us. A portrait of God's grace that you will see in this story in the 3rd chapter, which is one part of this miraculous sign. He is giving an example, sample. Hey, here is a sample, taste, and see God, how he works in a miraculous way. And in many other stories as we go along, you will see God will use a person and he will just preach, people will be saved. Some of them they ignore, some of them they despise them, some of them they get a very angry emotion. What they do? They punch them, they kick them, and they stone them. But God's work continues. And here in this 3rd chapter, Acts 3, I'm going to read 1 through 10, verse 1 through 10. Steve, would you change the slide? 1 to 10, Acts 1 through 10. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9th hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. A man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of temple, and that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask or to beg from those who are entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entering the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is God's word. Here we see three things that I want to share with you. As it is God's word, you and I are called to see God's character. And God brings us the first miraculous story. He is bringing before entering into the tour. He is showing us who we are. We are shown as a pictorial way our salvation story in this crippled man. And here it is written that gracious God, compassionate towards us, he knows whatever things we go through. And to our encouragement, he is using this guy as an illustration, and he is showing us. And here we see the first two verses. It describes all W questions we teach our children, right? Who, what, where, when, how. All those things are here. What do we know about this man? It is written at the end. I'm not going to preach on those. Fourth chapter 22, the story ends at the end. We read now that he was healed. But the story, real story, ends at the fourth chapter 22. It says that he was 40 years old. The first two verses, it describes his condition. He was born lame. It is literally, it says, he was lame in his mom's womb. That's what it is. It's translated as he was born lame man. He cannot walk. I wondered if his mom would have been here, he would have not born here. Our country is a different nation here. We don't want any crippled people to be born. But this mom, I believe, it is not written about that lady. Think of it. 40 years this man lived means somebody would have supported this man's life. Right? Think of our children here. You bring them in the car. They cannot walk all by themselves. This man cannot go anywhere. All other children, they cannot go. He depended on every step for somebody's mercy. Isn't it? And that guy's mom, it's not written about that. I think she had a great belief that the Messiah, when he comes, what he will do. It is written in Isaiah 35. Go back and read at home. The lame man and the blind will receive the healing. Probably, I'm guessing here, his friends, all these years, they brought him to the temple gate, expecting a great thing will happen for him. And this man, you may not know, I just like to share the Eastern culture. Bible is the Eastern book, okay? What do they do? This man's job is what? Begging. So what is the tool they use for beggars? They use a hand, exactly what you said. Or they may spread a small sheet in front of them. You may throw some coins. That's the tool, that nothing else, right? This man, somebody, his friends, they brought him and they put him on the place where he can meet many people. Above all, one thing you should remember, how they start their business, meaning how they start their work. What do you think? How the Eastern people, they start to work? If you have a colleague, any Indian guys in your workplace, watch them tomorrow. Many of you may not go to office, you work from home, but this is what they do. I'm just telling you, okay? I'm not lying here. If they are not Christian, even Christian, they do that. I don't do, okay? So I'm a software engineer. So what do? In front of my computer, I sit. First thing is they touch and do like this. They worship. And if you are a mechanic, car mechanic, you open the door, they fall down and they worship. Lord, I want many customers to come today. And if you are a cashier and you are a restaurant owner, what they do? You all, if you go to India, third part world, you will see this. They'll keep in their hand inside the coins. They make like this, make noise. You may wonder, what is this guy is doing here? That coin making noise, he is waking up the goddess which will bless him, bringing many customers. What do you think this guy would have done? He is a Jew. And he is sitting in front of the temple where God's presence, temple means God's presence. What would you think he would have done? It is another ordinary day. He is coming. His friends say, hey man, okay, hope this day you will get more people show mercy on you and put money. You know what he would have done? I believe he would have turned towards the temple. This beautiful gate is, they are saying, approximately at the eastern side of the gate. He would have prayed to the God. God, will you show mercy today? I want to worship you. And then he would have started, Lord, I want to eat too. Will you show mercy and grace, favor in the sight of the people who are passing by? Let them be generous today in my life. Brothers and sisters, this is the condition of this guy. Daily he is sitting there expecting something from God, expecting from people. But our God never disappoints us. Never ever will disappoint us. Do you know, brothers and sisters, look at that, the first my point. God visits us. We know that our Lord, he goes after the one sheep, lost sheep. That shows that he values us no matter what. This guy is the lowest in his society. God shows the first guy that I am going to save. Through this guy, I am going to save 2,000 people. That's the end of the story of this guy's life. Through them, God is going to reach out to other people. And here, God is challenging us. No matter what situation you are in, when God visits you, brothers and sisters, he will come after you. It shows that he cares for you and he values your life. He wants to use you. You may say, oh, I don't know. This crippled man didn't know anything except ask, bless me, give me. And no, do you know how the crippled man, the beggars, they ask money? What do you think? How do you know he is a layman? And that's why I said, if you are now YouTube and all those things are the technology, you can look at them, how people, they beg. They will tell to other people what they are, the infirmity that they have. They will ask, oh, I'm a blind man, please give me money. I'm a layman, I don't have feet, please. This is the confession that this guy will make. so that people will show mercy on him. He has to tell every moment when somebody passes by, "Hey, I'm a layman, I can't walk, please." We see here, my daughter lives in New Orleans. Every day, every year we go there, people will be standing with a boat. Right? We see many people here too. It breaks our heart when people ask and telling what they don't have. That is the confession that God expects from us. "Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't want to die in this world without forgiveness from you. Would you forgive me? That you came and died on the cross for me, my sin." And that is what God expects us. And this guy was crying, and now you see, when they ask for money, they don't look at the customer, okay? Eye to eye contact, no. They will be looking down and they will all know the feet, not the face. And here it says, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Peter and John, where did we see them in the previous chapter? He preached and the church became 3,000 people. Who is Peter now and John? They are a pastor or leaders of 3,000 people. What did they do? They have a time to pray. They left everything. 3 o'clock, do you have a time of prayer? Here, Peter and John, don't think that they are brothers. They are same kind of fishermen. Our Lord Jesus called them to do their work. Do you have someone with you together pray? In our church, we have a prayer. You can talk with Rachel. She will make you, it's a Zoom call for prayer. Anyone, every week, they are faithfully, they are praying for all the families here. And here, Peter and John, and they are showing us that no matter what, I may be busy. I may 3,000 people. No, no excuse. I love my God. This is my time of prayer. And they are going there. And this man, it says, he was sitting and begging. And Peter, when he entered, he is not another customer where he will just throw the money, not even looking at his face, and walk and worship God. Peter looks at him. First thing you notice, Peter stops and looks at that guy. Never ever anyone talked to him or stopped in his place and asked him to look at his face. Peter, first time he is calling him, "Man, look at us." And he may be thinking that, oh, he may be giving more money to me. His expectation, beyond our expectation, God will bless us, brothers and sisters. And here Peter says, "I don't have silver or gold, but I have the one who creates the silver and gold, whom I am going to give you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." The powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke. God speaks to us. That is the grace, brothers and sisters. God looks at us in our infirmity, whatever situation that we are going through. He knows everything what you are going through in your family. And he stops us. It's a wonderful thing that you need to remember. Among all the verses in the Bible, the one which, when I was growing up, which will always move me is this verse. The last miracle our Lord Jesus on the earth, when he did, it is a healing of a blind man. And this blind man was sitting there in Jerusalem, on the way to Jerusalem, and he will cry. He will ask the other guys, "Hey, who is passing by?" It is the Lord Jesus. He will shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Do you know what it says, the verse? Our Lord is going towards Jerusalem to die on the cross. It says, he stopped. Jesus stopped. And he said, call him here. The same Lord Jesus is here. He is with you. And he is encouraging you. Brothers and sisters, he is speaking to us through his word. And he is making us not only speaking, and he is stretching out his right hand. And he says, get up and walk. The word walk is also ironic word. This man does not have heard in his life. He does not have a leg. God can come to you, brothers and sisters. He will enable you the things that you have never done before. That he will say in the name of Jesus that you can do. God forgives all our sins. And he, when we come to him with a repentant heart, and here the Lord Jesus gave the strength for this guy, and he helped him. Instantly, he was raised. And you see, the man, how we know that he longing for the Messiah to come and healing him first. Look at the first thing. Peter and John did not force him. Hey, come to church. Come to church. No. Here, Peter and John did one thing. He stretched out hand and he lifted him up and made him to walk. What is that man did? Look at that. His heart, we know. And he was walking and praising God, jumping. And he went to the temple with them. Brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you. Do you have somebody to take and lift their hands in their place and bring them to a church where they can worship and receive God's blessing? And this man's heart wants to praise. And he is now equal among all. He is no longer beggar. He never turned back and went back to the sinful stage. He does not want to sit that place. I wondered, his own friends would have come back in the evening. Oh, what happened to this guy? He is missing here. Brothers and sisters, God will change you upside down when we come to him. That is the story of this Acts. It says, many places the gospel will go. Do you know the people of the land? They will not say, hey, these people who turned the world upside down, they have come to this place here too. Yes, our Lord will change you and Lord will use you. And this man will become the center of attraction. Now, my last point, God blesses us, meaning the word is salvation. He accepts us in his family and he makes us a witness. Look at that the entire, after that person is healed, Peter is going to preach two sermons. There are 28 sermons are recorded in this book. And all of them have a common pattern. If you compare all the 28 of them and you see the common theme, it will all be in these 5 points. God preordained. He plans things. God promises things. And God fulfills all the promises in the Lord Jesus. And then God commands, do you believe? Repent from your sin and come to him. And that is the call that we need to obey. When we obey God, fifth one, he says what he will do. He says here, when you believe, a refreshing time will come. God is the one who never lies. Brothers and sisters, when we commit our life to you, to him, and when we come to him with a humble heart for his forgiveness, no matter what our background may be, we may have lived hypocritical Christian life. No, he does not bother about our past. He wants us to use as a witness. And here, God will raise you up and he will bless you with his salvation. And he will make you a blessing. And remember, this guy is a very important guy in that early church. That is a Jerusalem church, what we are seeing. Now, later on, we'll see, after 8th chapter, we will see Judea, churches in Judea and Samaria. And then we'll see 13th chapter on, you will see ends of the earth. And here, the thing is, do you belong to a church? This guy became a member of the church. Now, member means immediately you'll all shake you. Oh, do I have to be a member in this church? You can come. But here, they identified with the people with whom they worship. And this guy cling on to, that's what it says, 11th verse, when the beggar held on to Peter and John. And that is how we see him, even after the Peter and John were arrested, the next day, he is waiting. And when they were released, and he was with them, and the people could not tell anything except this man. They praised God for this guy. I want to end with this question, brothers and sisters, that you want to be used in your life by God like this man. You can come to him. You can humbly ask God's forgiveness. And God added in those days 2,000 people more to come to him. Let us close our eyes and ask God's mercy on us. Lord, those who are hearing your word today, so many things that they may be going through in their life. Lord, I cannot understand. I cannot give all the answers. But Lord, you are God, one who raised up that crippled man, that you can deliver them from the situation where they are in. Lord, you have the power in your name. Lord, there is a victory, there is a power, there is a freedom. Lord, you grant them, Lord, the understanding of your word, longing to know you and worshiping you. Lord, coming together, Lord, to do your work in this place that you have called us to do. Lord, we thank you for all our children, all our loved ones. Lord, so many of our elderly people, they are in crippled state in a home. But Lord, we pray that take away all the fear that they may have. Those who are struggling in their addiction, those who are going through a difficult time, whatever may be, Lord, they are crippled fear of situation. Lord, you deliver them. We thank you, we bless you, Lord, for showing your mercy and grace. And you are God, one who are kind towards us. When we did not know you, Lord, you brought the good news and opened our eyes to see you, a Savior. We thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.